Hi there, I'm Veronica Wilhelm, and I'm here to tell you how to have the best day ever at work. Hi everyone, we're here in episode 3, and today we're going to talk about what to do when you realize that you've been drifting out to sea and are ready to actually start doing something about it.
Yes. And we also had homework last week. Mm-hmm. I worked on my SOS note. I had one before because I'm also a person that suffers from anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. So I've worked through a version of this with my therapist. But thinking about it also through the lens of career, mm-hmm. and the several different jobs that I have and the different hats that I wear, the steps that I was going to take, I really focused on doing it when I felt good and rested.
Mm-hmm,
I thought mm-hmm. that was super helpful. I made a list of my co-regulators,
mm-hmm.
which was, yeah, that was really helpful. Oh, hi, Ollie.
Hi, Ollie. He's so mad. We've locked him out of the office. So he's like, well, and I say office, we've locked him out of my bedroom where we are recording this right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just wants to, he wants to co-regulate with you.
Yeah, this is basically his bedroom and we are just in it right now. He's graciously sharing it with us. Yeah,
that's really nice of him. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And while I was making this list, I was also thinking about the time that you have made me list, like when you've gone on vacation to Florida and mm-hmm. you said like, oh, here's what to do and here's what to do if stuff goes sideways, mm-hmm. which has been really, really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And I also remembered, it was like we were having a really weird storm one time, and I was like, is there anything I need to do, Veronica? And you're like, no, I got this. I grew up in Florida. We have hurricane season. So I have a hurricane checklist, big storm checklist mm-hmm. for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was super helpful. I went ahead and made one of my own too.
Yeah. The prep for seeing things incoming is like something that was baked into growing up in Florida. And it just so happens that I continue to use that philosophy now in so many things. Like if I know there's a trip coming up, or, you know, we have this thing that my late husband and I called Wilhelm planning, which was mm-hmm. like, you make the plan for the thing that you don't want to have happen, but you're really scared of, because it's almost superstitious. It's like, if we do it, then we won't ever have to use the plan. And so, but it's the same thing. We think this thing could come to pass. Let's make a plan for it. And plan sounds really formal. It's often just like, okay, if this happens, what would freak me out the most? Or what is the thing that I want to address the most? And what is the goal for this interaction or this thing, you know, and keeping that top of mind. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I made my SOS list just on the notes app
nice.
On my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's been really helpful. And I like the idea that in the moment where you come to, when you sort of wake up and you're like, oh my God, I don't know where the trail is.
Mm-hmm.
You pull this out and it feels like something that I can scan. I can quickly be like, all right, this is my step. This is my next step. This is my next step.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it's supposed to be there for.
So gold star.
Gold star. Oh my gosh. 75 gold stars.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As Bethany mentioned, I'm from Florida, which sometimes is something I'm proud of that I survived, and sometimes is something I don't talk about very much anymore. But I have this very distinct memory of being washed out to sea in a riptide, but not realizing that that's what was happening until my mom came out to me like hundreds of yards from the shore and pulled us back in. And it was me and my brother and two kind of childhood friends. So if you can imagine, you know, you see your children kind of drifting out, you head out there, and then you have to haul four children back in with you against the current. And how, from her perspective on the shore, I was like happily playing in the ocean, and how over a few minutes I was going further and further out, and I was so far from where I was supposed to be, at risk of like literal drowning. Though from my perspective, I was like sort of happily still splashing and not noticing the drift that had happened. But my mom saw me, and she got me and my buds and brought me back to safety. And if you're familiar with riptides, you know that when you get caught in one, the thing you have to do is swim parallel to shore, which feels kind of counterintuitive. This is what gets you out of the riptide and allows you to start swimming back towards shore. But if you try to go straight in when you're still in the riptide, you're like pushing against a very powerful current and are more likely to drown from exhaustion. If you've done your homework from the previous episodes, you've managed to identify that you're in a quiet little spiral that's taking you further and further away from your goal, a riptide of drifting intention. You've managed to identify the ways you were attempting to calm your nervous system that were less than productive, which is a version of trying to swim back to shore against the current. Okay, so in this metaphor and in reality, don't swim in a straight line back to shore if you're caught in a riptide, y'all. When you see what's happening and have to assess what to do next, this is what we're going to talk about today. You have the option of continuing to drift, and that's what a lot of people do. They just don't notice until someone points it out, and then they continue to drift, kind of unsure how to proceed, or they wrongly think that changing tactics will take too much energy, and they'd be better riding it out until it's over, or they stick with what they know, even if they're drowning while they do it, which sometimes means they live a lifetime trying to ride it out without ever actually making progress toward the thing they want. But not you, right? You're here today because you want to know what to do in this moment. This is the moment where you realize you're drifting out to sea and want to come back, but aren't quite sure what to do next. So first, and most importantly, identify what is important to you. In our metaphor, the most important thing is your life. But in reality, this could be your sanity, your relationship, your health, your children. We always start with our goal we're aiming towards. Identify what is the most important thing to you in that current situation you find yourself in, because that is going to give us a lot of information about how to triage. And I'll add in this other little twist. It's not only what is the most important, but the thing that seems to be connected to all the other things, the foundational idea or silver bullet of the situation. So sure, you can identify the thing that's most important in a particular project that you need to do, but I want you to do a quick examination and ask, if I take care of this, will most of my other problems go away? If I take care of this, will most of my other problems go away? If the answer is no, then I want you to ask yourself why. Ask why until you get to another idea for a solution. And in this case, you might have to ask why not, but your goal is to question why or why not, understand the logic behind your choice. Sometimes you might have to employ a tactic used in lean process improvement called the five whys. Also, Ollie might be joining us. You can hear him in the background being kind of mad that he's been locked out. So in the five whys, it's a process where, you guessed it, you asked yourself why five times, because this is often how many times you need to ask to get to the core of what your issue is. So I'll use my recent example. I was very sick for almost a month and knew I had drifted. I was noticing my ability to be with my family had been compromised. I knew my health wasn't getting any better. I knew my work was subpar and my volunteer commitments were lagging. I don't do anything half-assed, really, so it was also really bothering me that I was putting in like D-plus effort here. So I knew my mental health was starting to suffer, not just from the underperforming in all of the things I wanted to do, but because of all the obligations I had missed starting to pile up on top of the not great effort I was trying to put out. When I thought about what was important, I thought about this very podcast. I hadn't written a single outline or script for it, despite the fact that our launch date was fast approaching. I kept saying I'd take care of it, but I didn't because I was getting so frazzled trying to take care of a million other little things I hadn't done yet. So when I asked myself if I wrote the podcast scripts, would most of my other problems go away? The answer was no, they would not. So I asked, why not? Because the podcast is just one of many things I need to do and couldn't get them all done. Why not? Because I was too tired to work. Why? See, I switched to a why there. Because I was still so sick. Why? Because I wasn't prioritizing my own recovery. And there it was. I needed to prioritize my recovery from this wild sickness that was still with me. And I only did it in four whys, efficiency. Now you might be thinking, okay, but what about the podcast scripts and all the other stuff? Don't worry, I'll get to that. But first, I knew if I didn't take my health seriously, it didn't matter how much pressure I put on myself, I would continue to deliver subpar work because I wasn't able to focus on the work because of how badly I felt. So my first step was to schedule an appointment with my doctor ASAP. I started with the provider chat feature in my healthcare offers. I was able to talk to a doctor about what was happening and ask for help with like immediate relief. They took it seriously and got me an inhaler that was delivered to my house that day. And then they helped me schedule an appointment with someone in my doctor's practice in like 2 days. They gave me a list of things to do in addition to the treatments I was already trying. And I got a hold of those things that day using my Amazon Prime membership so I could have them delivered within a few hours. And this is where I had to use a strategy to soothe my nervous system more effectively rather than efficiently. I knew it would take time to get the meds delivered, and I could have continued to panic and beat my head against a wall trying to write these dang scripts, but the illusion of movement is so seductive, and instead, I did the really hard thing and took a short nap. You might be thinking, how is a nap hard? That sounds easy. And actually, I know you're not thinking that because you're here, you're the kind of person who agonizes over resting when there's work to be done. But yeah, stopping to take a nap was very hard. It was countercultural to the messages we get about value being in productivity. It felt like I would lose that time because I wasn't actively working on the many, many things I needed to do. But I just identified that recovery was what I needed, so I got into bed, hesitant that the nap would help. I used my PowerNap app and set an alarm for a 45-minute nap, and this app is one of my favorites because it wakes you up before deep sleep, so you don't wake up groggy. I read a little and dropped to sleep and was woken up before I got to deep sleep, and that little bit of rest gave me the ability to do the next step in the triage. I had to look at what was important and what was urgent. If you've been following along with me, you know I'm talking about a good old-fashioned Eisenhower matrix. But to be clear, I never actually used the format as it's intended. I used the principle to help inform my choices. So a reminder that an Eisenhower matrix is where you take your tasks and you sort them into four quadrants: important and urgent, important and not urgent, not important and urgent, and not important and not urgent, also known as do, schedule, delegate, delete. So important and urgent, do. Important and not urgent, schedule. Not important and urgent, delegate. Not important and not urgent, delete. Once I had sorted the things and saw what was important and urgent, I got to work. I was more refreshed because of the nap, so I was able to make some solid progress on the things I needed to do. Your goal also helps you get information about how you should go about doing your tasks. Remember my top priority? It was recovery. So I would complete my tasks in shorter bursts with a big old cup of water next to me and some hot tea. I gave myself plenty of breaks and fluids and made steady progress. And once I got a little more recovered, I could do even more work and make even more progress. And it took a few weeks, but I'm very nearly caught up at this point and I'm fully recovered. So the time I'm putting into my work is more focused and I'm able to complete it faster. For the rest of the matrix, the schedule, delegate, and delete, I did all those things as well with the help of Bethany, my producer, and then my partner. When we're in this deep, we often need trusted thought partners to help us figure out what matters and how to prioritize. We've had a time of incredible myopia or narrow tunnel vision, so our perception might be a little skewed. So use the people around you to be mirrors and help you make sound choices about where everything else fits. And this could be a partner, a friend, a manager, or a coach or consultant like me. And I do this a lot with my coaching clients, since most of them are executive leaders and don't have a ton of peers or managers they can talk through things with. So with Bethany and my partner as mirrors, I would ask, what could I just delete? What could I pass on or delegate? And what needed separate time on the calendar so it'd get the attention that it deserved, or what did I need to schedule? I continued to take naps, drink a ton of water, and take my meds, and it turns out I had freaking bronchitis. Ugh. So, to recap, when you realize you're being pulled little by little from your goal, first check in about what is most important right now. And is that thing that's most important, your goal for this time, is it something that could solve many issues at once? And if not, ask yourself why a few times so you can get to a more root cause of what's going on, and that will help you figure out what to do. Then next, you establish what is urgent and what is important. Use your Eisenhower matrix and your goal, get clear on what is still important and still urgent, and start to chip away at that list. Use trusted thought partners to sort out the rest so you can schedule, delegate, and delete what's left on your to-do list. And always, always, always keep your goal front and center. Throughout all of these conversations, the prime directive was to get well, to rest and recover. So I built in naps for a week or so. My partner took my son out so I could stay home and rest. I would limit my activity during the day so I didn't overdo it and set myself back. And bronchitis is really rough, y'all. It's been about 2 weeks since I've been mostly symptom-free, and I've still got a few lingering things, but I'm mostly recovered and mostly back on track because I followed these steps, kept my primary goal in mind, and made choices about where to put my energy so I could solve the most problems effectively. I'm so glad you could join me today. Share this episode with someone who you think needs to hear it. Follow me on Instagram at Veronica and sign up for my newsletter at wilhelmconsulting.com. Yeah, check the show notes for the links to everything. Check the show notes.
Where? The show notes.
Check the show notes.